ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When energy costs jump, everyone feels it. At the Bowser, on the power bill, and across the economy.
I'm Alan Kohler.
And I'm Carrington Clark. On ABC Business Daily's Fuelcast, we break down the latest in fuel, energy, and the forces driving prices.
It's a quick, clear update on what's moving, why it matters, and what it can mean for your wallet and the wider economy.
Find Fuelcast in the ABC Business Daily feed on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
The ABC's Alan Kohler thinks the Treasurer should nationalise the childcare system. That is, taking it out of the hands of for-profit businesses. With lingering concerns about the quality and safety of some centres and families struggling to afford the bills, is now the time for a radical shake-up. Today, Alan on the case for change and a childcare policy expert on whether it could really work. I'm Sydney Peed on Gadigal Land, Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
Of living pressures. The government claims it'll be its most ambitious budget to date. And Alan Kohler has one late suggestion for the Treasurer.
I've got an idea for next month's federal budget, although it's probably a bit too late.
Alan, you went on ABC News recently and dropped a bombshell of an idea for the federal budget to nationalise childcare and kindergarten.
And make them free.
I imagine you had a bit of reaction to that. Did you have any missed calls from the Treasurer?
No. Jim Chalmers didn't ring me, but certainly got a big reaction. It was certainly a lot of people call me a communist, but it was pretty positive. I think a lot of people believe there's a problem, and the problem isn't simply that childcare is, in my view, too expensive. Also, the private school sector, both primary and secondary, is subsidised by the government, but the subsidy is only available to not-for-profit organisations, whereas with childcare, three-quarters of them are profit-making businesses, and yet they're subsidised as well. So I think that's an inconsistency that also needs to be looked at.
Okay, well, Alan, we're going to step through this idea with you. Childcare is a huge issue for families. Just getting your kid a spot is hard, and even if you can get in, it's just so expensive. So how big a change would this be?
Oh, well, I think it'd be massive. And I do think it's connected to housing affordability too, because the fact that house prices are now more than twice the relationship to incomes that they were 25 years ago, that's changed the whole dynamics of running a household, so that the mortgage is now much more. And quite often, whether or not both partners in a family want to work, they have to work because they need to pay the mortgage. So suddenly, there's been a massive change in the way households operate. And of course, if you both work, then you've got to get childcare if you've got kids under five. There is a subsidy, obviously, and it can be 80% of the cost for low-income families, but the means test tapers off pretty quickly. And so if you're a middle-class family earning a reasonable salary, you're not getting much subsidy, if any, and because you've probably got a $1 million mortgage, you're in strife. The two costs together are really crippling.
Well, let's step through exactly how this scheme would work in your mind. You've done some of the numbers. Let's talk about the big one. The government would have to buy out these operators to get this idea over the line. It would cost tens of billions of dollars, wouldn't it?
It would. I sort of had a stab at 50 or 60 billion. That was a pretty wild guess. But I took one of the operators, looked at their market share and looked at their market value. I think it's roughly correct. Then the question is, well, how do you finance the acquisition of the childcare operators in the wild and crazy event that it was actually nationalised? And I sort of thought, well, they could issue childcare bonds to super funds.
Just explain a bit, how does the childcare bonds that super funds could invest in work? Just explain that a bit more.
Oh, well, the government issues bonds now to finance its deficit. They're IOUs, effectively, that pay interest. And the interest rate on those bonds at the moment, the 10-year maturity bonds, is about 5%. That would cover the cost of buying them, and then you've got to run them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the moment, if you subtract the profits that they're making, there's probably 15 to 20 billion in actual cost of running them. And I'm saying, well, you know, if it was free, a lot more people would use it. So the cost would probably increase to, I don't know, 30 billion. The cost of running them and paying the interest on the bonds would be in the order of $30 to $35 billion a year, half of which is covered by the cost of the subsidy now. And, well, the other half, I'm saying, consider that to be an investment.
So the government would run the childcare centres, they'd employ the staff as public servants, I presume. It sounds a bit expensive, but as you say, you think it could be viewed as an investment. So just explain that a bit more. What's the case for that?
Well, the case simply is, at the moment, what they're doing is subsidising private companies' shareholders. You know, I don't think that's a very good way to go, but there we go. That's just the way it's grown up. So owning the centres themselves would make it more of a state system. I mean, just simply extending the provision of public education to kids under five. I don't think it's particularly radical to do that. You know, we currently have a state education system for people, you know, between 5 and 18. I'm just trying to get people's minds a bit focused on this problem.
Well, just on that issue of nationalising, you know, what does history tell us about the quality of services that taxpayers receive when something is privatised? Because, I mean, we haven't seen many examples of services that have been nationalised or re-nationalised, really.
No. Well, in fact, what we've seen is lots of things being privatised. Obviously, Qantas, Commonwealth Bank, Telstra, are they better now than they were? I don't know. I'll leave that up to their customers to decide. It is generally felt as a truism among economists that private sector does things better than the government. And, you know, that's possibly true. Competition certainly works to improve things. And, you know, there is competition between childcare centres at the moment. But look, there are problems with safety, child safety in these centres. You know, I think that there are question marks around the quality of the childcare centres as they are.
Mm.
And I think it's patchy. Let's face it. I don't know whether you or people you know have got experience with childcare centres, but my experience with grandchildren is that some of them aren't that great and some of them are fantastic.
Right. Well, we know the Prime Minister does want to do more on expanding access to childcare.
These are the building blocks of a world-class, universal early education system, getting fees down for families, getting wages up for workers, getting more places for children, more centres.
So what do you think, Alan, what are the chances of Anthony Albanese hearing this idea of yours and getting to work on implementing it?
Oh, zero, I'd say.
Right.
I don't want anyone to get the idea that I think it's going to happen. I think the days of nationalising things are well and truly over.
Mm.
I mean, I suppose I was just trying to draw attention to what clearly is a problem. There has been a Productivity Commission report on it, and they've recommended lifting the subsidy to ease the cost of living problems for people. In a way, that just further entrenches the problem to some extent. I think they're a bit stuck, really. I don't think there is the prospect of a big change. So I do think that probably what will happen is they'll just sort of fiddle with the subsidy a bit and help people out, but there's a limit to what they can do because they're trying to reduce the budget deficit.
Well, Alan, we're going to see what a childcare policy expert thinks about this idea. So thanks very much.
They'll hate it. They'll hate it.
Ah, well, let's see. Thanks so much for stepping us through.
Righto.
My name's Elizabeth Hill. I'm Professor of Political Economy and Deputy Director of the Australian Centre for Gender Equality and Inclusion at Work at the University of Sydney.
So, Elizabeth, that's Alan Kohler's idea to nationalise childcare centres and provide free childcare to all parents. What do you think? Is he onto a winner?
Alan coming out on national TV and kind of spruiking his back-of-the-envelope numbers on providing for a nationalised system was a bit of a breath of fresh air.
Mm.
Alan's highlighting an issue that academics and leaders across the sector have long mulled over, and that is, why does Australia expose its youngest and most vulnerable to the vagaries of the free market? For-profit provision of an essential service like early childhood education and care was never a good idea, and it still isn't. We've known that markets are not the best way to deliver public goods like childcare, and yet policy choices made over the past 20 years and before have delivered a radical marketisation of early childhood education and care services that do not deliver high quality services. And, you know, we've kind of come to this point where rather than having a really strong, high quality sector that everybody can access and benefit from, governments from both sides of politics have found themselves spending increasing billions of dollars on a service that many families find is just too expensive. It's hard to access. It's got workforce challenges due to historically low wages. And as we've been reminded in graphic detail in recent months, it's often of a quality that's too low and in some instances actually very dangerous for young children. So nationalising the system would finally get us out of this vicious cycle of pouring good money after bad and provide government with an opportunity to spend public money directly on a high quality service.
Well, as you've said, we've seen the childcare industry develop into this very lucrative business. But could this idea actually practically work? Can you unscramble this egg, so to speak?
Well, here's the rub, right? The politics of nationalisation is no doubt hard, as are the budgetary implications. Unscrambling the egg would be a huge undertaking. But I guess what I would say is that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Turning the ship will require some time. There's no quick fixes here. But using the funding lever and the regulatory framework, we can use that to break the business model that's so effectively attracted these large for-profit providers, including private equity, I have to say. You know, private equity companies have no pretense to the public good. So I think reducing that type of business's involvement in early childhood education and care would be a really good starting place and really support moves towards improved quality.
Well, many in the childcare industry, I'm sure, would insist that a well-regulated, government-supported, competitive industry can actually lead to better, cheaper services and care for our kids. Do they have a point?
Look, education care is not a regular market. It's a public good that's completely different from running a cafe or running a jeans factory where the profit motive drives outcomes. High quality early childhood education and care is expensive. There is absolutely no way around that. It requires skilled staff who have the time to provide high quality care and education. And parents are not regular consumers when they're looking for early childhood education and care for their kids. If I start to have qualms about my early childhood education and care provider, it's not easy to find another place. And it's certainly not easy, as many parents will attest to move your child from a centre where they already have connections with staff and peers to a new one. The profit motive in early childhood education and care does not drive quality up. Instead, it drives quality down. And the evidence on this is very clear, with for-profit providers much less likely than not-for-profits to meet national minimum quality standards and also less likely to meet the highest standard. So I think we really need to get away from this idea of early childhood education and care being a market.
Many in the industry would also say that the majority of centres are providing great care for Australian children.
Oh no, many services do provide really good quality care. They have excellent and very committed staff. But we know that the system as a whole is currently not designed and not operating to deliver that high quality service for all children, for all families, no matter where they live.
Elizabeth, we know that there's been a huge scandal over the quality of care and the safety of children in childcare, and a lot of that has been exposed by the reporting of the ABC's Adele Ferguson. In the wake of that, is the industry changing? Is regulation forcing the bad operators out?
Look, the initial legislative package that the Commonwealth has put through provides some excellent measures to start really shifting the dial on some very basic levels of child safety. That 15% lift in wages has also played a really important role in promoting that kind of stability and offering some opportunity for stable and decently paid employment. So there's a way to go there, but the investment in early childhood workforce will definitely flow through to higher quality outcomes for kids and their families.
So Alan doesn't think this is going to happen, but are you any more hopeful about this given the political realities that we're faced with?
Yeah, no, like Alan, I have no expectations that on budget night we're going to get a big announcement on the government nationalising the ECEC system. I am certainly not expecting that. But the benefit of Alan's intervention is that it really does reconnect people with the need to rebalance it away from the large for-profit providers that are driving down quality. And I have to say, I love his idea of childcare bonds and looping in the super funds. Because it's using working people's savings to invest in a public good whose benefits flow directly back to workers and employers, delivering workforce sustainability and productivity. So it's a neat solution. Thanks, Alan.
Elizabeth Hill is a professor in the Department of Political Economy at the University of Sydney. Alan Kohler is the ABC's finance expert and co-host of the ABC Business Daily podcast. Audio production on this episode by Sam Dunn and Anna John. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sydney Peed. ABC News Daily will be back with Sam Hawley tomorrow. Thanks for listening.